When we do what we are about to do, which is read Scripture during a worship service, it is tempting to read with the church as the focus. Let's think bigger. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for shaping us into who we are today and the ways that you have worked in our lives in Jesus. We ask for your forgiveness for the times when we talk about you and think about you in ways that are too small, in ways that attempt to limit. And we thank you for the ways that you work in our lives that keep making everything bigger, that keep welcoming more people, that keep widening the circle, so that all may one day confess Jesus as Lord, and we get to be a part of it. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord from 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the discernment of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues or languages, to another, the interpretation of languages. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Not the church for the common good, but all of life for the common good. I believe that we have made a mistake through the years of reading 1 Corinthians 12 and thinking only in terms of ourselves. As a matter of fact, I think we've made a mistake in reading 1 Corinthians. Whole thing. And thinking that this was about the church. And I know the objections, and the objections are fair. Well, Paul was writing to a church, so isn't this about church? That's too small. It's limiting God. What Paul is trying to do in 1 Corinthians, all of it, but especially in 12, is say, God's working in our lives, and sometimes we see it, and a lot of times we don't, but God is working. And God is working to bring everything together for the common good. And that's bigger than just our experience. It's everything. It's the whole world. You ever thought about the whole world as the active place of God's work? You think it's tough today? It's always been tough. It's always been hard to look at the whole wide world and say, God is at work. And I know those objections. And I understand them. But when God says that all of creation is being brought together, I believe God's talking about more than just those of us who are at a place in our lives that are confessing Jesus as Lord today. that's just too small. That's a limiting God. The thing I like the most about what's going on in 1 Corinthians 12 is when he starts talking about all of these gifts that God gives, the utterance of wisdom. Because you ever been around a really wise person? You probably name them on one hand, of someone that you just always want to be around because of this just wisdom that flows out of them. You think, oh man, I want to be like that. One of these days when I grow up, I want to be like this person. It's just everything they say. It's so wise, and it's intelligent, and it's kind, and it's compassionate, but it always seems to say the right thing. Well, according to 1 Corinthians 12, that is a gift of God that God gives whatever way God chooses. It's not that you can't cultivate wisdom, but that's a gift from God. But there's another one in there that I really like that is listed. It's the same thing. It's listed right among the giving of wisdom and being able to interpret languages. You know what it is? Faith. That's a gift from God. And it's ranked right up there with them. So that if we say Jesus is Lord, that's a gift from God. But I think we limit God's work too often. We make God too small. Too often we create God in our own image. The Bible has a name for that. What if, however, we come together this morning, not just as the church, but as the whole wide world, with the same mind and the same purpose? Because after all, that's how 1 Corinthians starts. That's the ideal community of God's people around the world. People who have the same mind and same purpose. To limit that to one congregation or one body of people, thinking of God too small. What if what we get to participate in this very morning is all of creation coming together on this very morning with the same mind and the same purpose? That's asking a lot, especially considering the state of the world. Because if you looked at the world lately, well, guess what? It's nothing new. We think it is. It's not. It's nothing new. But God is good and God is faithful. Try to imagine a teenage boy in Saudi Arabia. Somehow, some way, someone got him a copy of Scripture, or he found it in a used bookstore. Took it home. Spirit of God worked on his heart. And he was so enamored of what he read that he didn't just say, I like this Jesus. This Jesus is interesting. It's more than that. As he sat in his room and read, he imagined, what if God could actually work in my life? How can I, on this very day, confess Jesus as Lord? What if he can't find a community? What if it's dangerous to find a community? What if it would threaten his very life not to find one, but even to go looking for a community of faith? So he devotes the rest of his life to confessing Jesus as Lord. In his small town in Saudi Arabia, where it may not be safe for him ever to find a community of faith. Does he get to be a part of what we're doing this morning, saying things like, God is good and God is faithful? If we say no, our God is too small. Because I think what 1 Corinthians 12 is doing is that it is showing us the activity of God in the whole wide world and saying, you get to be a part of this. and that's good. All of God's creation working together toward what is good. This is where the football team illustration falls apart in the life of the Christian community. You know what I'm talking about? Those of you who may not have background in Christianity, maybe you've never heard of this before, but there was a time in the history of Christian preaching where the football illustration was the primary one. I had a teacher in seminary who talked about this often, that if every illustration for the sermon begins with, "Well, back when I played football," you may need to broaden your approach to storytelling just a little bit. But I remember hearing this one time and I thought, this is very interesting. I like this approach. The one that says, well, the Christian life is kind of like a football team where we're all lined up together and we're all going down the field together with the same goal in mind. I thought, well, I like that. That's a neat illustration. But that's not what Christian life is like. Maybe for a few minutes on Sunday morning, but tomorrow, how many of us are going to be together in going out and living out 1 Corinthians 12, this gift of God that 1 Corinthians 12 calls for the common good, which I love that. I love that idea of what we are doing as the people of God, as those who confess Jesus as Lord, what we are doing is for the common good. That is participating in all of creation coming together for the common good. Well, we're not going to be tomorrow a football team all going down the field together to the end zone. That one just doesn't work for the majority of Christian life. No, I think that the better illustration, at least for these contemporary times, is World of Warcraft. Come talk to this group if you're sitting thinking, what in the world? World of Warcraft is a multi-player, big world online video game. And in parts of World of Warcraft, you cannot get through certain obstacles by yourself. It's not possible. It takes a team. And if the team doesn't work together, if the team does not come together with the same purpose and the same mind, then what you have is called a Leroy Jenkins. Just ask them after church. What you have is someone who goes rogue and says, I'm just going to do this by myself. Just going to get it all figured out. But the team does not come together and work together toward the common good. When we go out into the world tomorrow morning, or let's be realistic about this, in an hour, when we go out and live our lives in the world, it's going to be more like us as a team coming together for the common good. But one person might be in Houston, and the person on the same team might be in Japan, you know, in Ohio. Everybody coming together for the same purpose, for the common good. And what does this look like in our everyday lives tomorrow? Maybe it'll be at work. Maybe it'll be at the grocery store. You know, a few weeks from now, maybe it'll be at school. And when this person is saying, I'm going to live my life in such a way that says, God is good and God is faithful. And this person is living their lives in such a way that says, God is good and God is faithful. Then we're all working together with the same mind and same purpose toward this new creation. And we're all coming together, even though we're not all in the same place. When all people work together for the common good, we will be that much closer to what God is doing in our world by bringing together this new creation. What will that look like? Most of you know I'm a big fan of movies. And one of my favorite interviews I've ever heard from a movie director was an interview with Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith is talking about what it takes to make a movie in this particular interview. And he was talking about how people have to come together, hundreds of people, to make a single movie. You know, if it's a big movie, it takes hundreds of people all working together to pull this off. And so he said that's why in his movies, whenever the credits are first rolling onto the screen, he refuses to put up a Kevin Smith film. Because he said that doesn't make sense. It's not just mine. I mean, he may be the creative genius behind it, but it's not just his. It's all these people coming together. And that got me to thinking about Harry Potter. Harry Potter, not just a book or a movie, but the whole thing. All eight movies. I know there's extras coming, but the eight movies. All right? Do you know how many directors it took to tell that story from Harry, you're a wizard, to, well, I won't give away the ending, but when it kind of ends, you know how many directors it took to bring all of that together? Do you know how many screenwriters it took? How many actors? How many set designers? How many caterers? People who worked on electricity? Special, it took hundreds, potentially even thousands of people to pull off these movies that took 10 years to tell a story from start to finish. You ever heard of The Lady and the Unicorn Tapestries? The Lady and the Unicorn Tapestries were put together in the 1500s. When we saw them in Paris, France, in a museum, there are these six tapestries that hang. They're just fascinating. And they tell a story, but we don't quite know what the story is. People have attempted to tell it. It's just these beautiful tapestries. Did you know that in the Gryffindor Common Room, hanging in the Gryffindor Common Room in the Harry Potter movies, are some of the Lady and the Unicorn tapestries? So what we're talking about in pulling all of these movies together is not just people today saying, well, we're going to come together and we're going to pull together all of these stories. They're pulling together set pieces that go all the way back to the 1500s. And if you know the Harry Potter stories, you know the significance of unicorns later in the story. And they put up The Lady and the Unicorn Tapestries. That's on purpose. And it is a way of saying, we're going to tell this one big, gigantic story. Not just a single story, but all of these stories. And it's going to take years for them to all come together. And it's going to take thousands of people to bring them all together. And then it's going to take millions of people to bring them all together. Because you know what happens? When you shoot these movies that takes thousands of people to pull together and no one goes into the theaters to watch them, it's called a waste of time. So the person sitting and watching the movie is participating just as much in the telling of the story. So I'm thinking that if we read 1 Corinthians 12, this person shares wisdom, this person shares knowledge, this person tells the story, this person is doing her ever best just to be accepting of God's gift of faith. This church is going out every single week, day after day, hour after hour, in committing to live by the truth that God is good and God is faithful, even in the midst of a world that sometimes doesn't look all that good and doesn't look all that faithful. And what we are doing is participating in a story that takes years to tell, thousands of people to bring together, millions just to live. One body of Christ? Oh, that is so big. That's so big. For the common good? Yeah. And you know why? For the common good? It is because God is good and God is faithful. The world, here's the truth. The world is going to keep on worlding. God is going to keep on gifting us. How then will we live and work together for God's common good? Now, there's not a conclusion to this sermon. That conclusion must be preached. Not on Sunday morning in a nice room like this, but on Sunday afternoon and on Monday morning and for the next 20 years. The conclusion to the sermon must be preached this week with our lives. Amen.